when I start my sermon thread, you get included.
Okay. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been praying as this hurricane was coming and then as it came. So we were praying for all those in its path, and we pray for those who were affected by it. And in the midst of these kinds of disasters, sometimes we wonder, where was God? Why did God not just redirect it? Sometimes the only thing we can do is acknowledge that this world is not perfect, that these things are a natural occurrence because of the world that we live in. This is not heaven, and so it's not perfect. Bad things happen, right? Sometimes they happen a lot. Sometimes they seem to happen more to us than other people. But they do happen. But the spiritual practice that I try to adopt is to change my perspective. So instead of asking, how could God let this happen, I ask, what new creation is God going to make in response to this event? I asked Lawrence to make me something out of Lego this morning, so you can come on up here now and tell us what you've made.
It's a boat.
It's a boat. Okay, so it's a boat. Now, it would be a shame if something happened to this boat. Go ahead. The boat breaks, but using those same pieces and maybe adding a piece or two, it's no longer a boat, but that boat was turned into
a lighthouse.
A lighthouse. So out of the destruction and crumbles and ruins of this boat, God created something new with the same pieces. It's a little different shape, but all of the original pieces are there. And so even out of a bad moment, something new was created. The same thing can happen for all of us. Even in our bad moments, even if we feel like we have been taken apart, God is able to put us back together again and make something new and possibly even better out of us, right? Okay. Amen. Okay, you can go back to where you came from. Or you can stay there if you want. That's fine with me. So friends, have you ever felt broken? Have you ever felt destroyed? Have you ever felt like you were left in pieces on the ground? Maybe like that man from the Good Samaritan story, and everybody is just passing right by your broken pieces laying on the ground. It's a natural thing to try to find God in that moment, in any moment. It's what we're taught to do, find God. And God gave us a brain. And one of the favorite things that we do with this brain is try to figure out why things happened. And we look into the past to try to make sense of what might come next. But last week, we talked about going above and beyond in hope. And most of the time, you don't find hope in the past. You find hope in the future. Hope is forward thinking, not backward thinking. So if you're looking for hope, you look forward to hope. And we talked about hoping big. If we're going to hope big, at some point we have to start looking for God's presence in other places, not just in the past, but also in the future. Grieving is important. There is a time and place for everything. But there is also a time to begin moving on and moving forward. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't acknowledge the pain of bad events. We should. And that's a healthy way to go through something. What I'm saying is that we can't only live in that moment. Our job is to move on to the next moment and look for God there. What I'm also saying is if that's all we focus on, then the new creation that God is already at work doing in front of us will be missed. We won't see it because we're looking that way, but God's at work here. This doesn't only apply to physical things like lighthouses and queens turning into an old maid. It also applies to us as humans. As the prophet Jeremiah said, God is the potter and we are the clay. God created and molded us in God's image. But all of the things that happen in our lives are opportunities for God to reimagine who and what we are. Every major event in our lives molds us and shapes us, and we carry those events with us for the rest of our lives, whether we acknowledge them or notice or not. We are shaped by the things that have happened to us. We are Methodists, we're Wesleyan. Experience is big for us, particularly experience of God. The way that we experience God molds and shapes not just who we are, but our very core of our faith. So when bad things happen to us, we acknowledge that God is already at work on the next new creation, even if we are focused on the one that was in crumbles. So then the decision we must make is, how will we live out this new creation? How will we embrace it? And how will we look forward to it? And how will we make the most of our new life and acknowledge that God has picked us up and put the pieces back together again? It might not look like it did before, but it works. It's something new, and it is of God. There is our hope. Even in our darkest moments, instead of looking in the past, we can look into the future with hope, knowing that God is already there, and God is already at work in a new creation. Well, so far we have focused a lot on our own perception of God's work in our lives, in our creation. It's been a lot about us, right? How we perceive the world around us. We have started to shift our focus from where was God to where is God. And that is important work to do. But it's not where we stop. We also have to acknowledge that while we do this work, everybody else around us is doing that same work. Nobody is a completed project. Yet we expect perfection sometimes. We expect perfection from people who are still being molded into what they will one day become. So this isn't just personal. It's also communal. It's about all of us. This conversation is about our own lives, but we also have to see how every person around us is going through that same process and is due and deserves the same grace and forgiveness and patience and time that we want for ourselves as we go through this process. We've all made mistakes, but we've all had opportunities for God to pick up those broken pieces and mold us into something new and possibly even better. In that realization, we can look at our brothers and sisters with a much more gracious and understanding approach. Oh, they're just still being molded, just like me. They're not perfected. Neither am I. We heard Brian tell us the story of Philemon and Onesimus. So for this next sermon series, we're going back to the lectionary, which is always cool because we are using the same set of scriptures that every church in the world has in front of them to use. But I noticed as I was praying about this upcoming sermon schedule that I post on the bulletin board, that you know, we spend so much time in the Gospels or in Acts or in the more popular letters of Paul. We spend so much time in the Psalms and in the prophets. This time, going through the lectionary this time, I want to go into the lesser known scriptures, like Philemon. And I want to see how they are equally scripture, equally the word of God, but very overlooked by me. My fault. So we're going to go on a journey together. I don't know how many sermons you've heard that use Philemon, but I'm not sure that I ever heard one. This is a letter that Paul wrote from prison to one of his followers named Philemon and to the local church. Paul is writing to Philemon and the church on behalf of a man named Onesimus, who I told the kids didn't have a very good reputation in the community. And he deserved that bad reputation. He did some bad things to them. He was a slave who stole money and ran away. In the past, he was a nuisance, a useless distraction to everyone around him. Perhaps you know someone like that. But his past actions were not something that Paul was going to let stick with him for the rest of his life, because Paul saw that his heart was changed. Paul's message to the church is, don't judge him by his past. In the present, he is a new creation, and God is sending him back to you. And any money that he owes, I will pay myself. That requires some forgiveness, right? To take somebody back into your community, back into your home, back into your life who has hurt you in the past. And I want to be clear here that I am not telling you to repeatedly let somebody come in and damage your life. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying is this man has changed. You bring him back into your community, he's not going to do that again. But because he's changed, we're not going to hold it over him. So that's different than inviting somebody back into your life who has not changed and then expecting somehow things to be different. This is a man who has changed. And God picked up the broken pieces of Onesimus' life, put them back together again, and is now sending them back out into the world in a new creation to do something new and uplift a community. That is a life made new again. Onesimus got a second chance in the community and in the church. And Paul's message to us is that everyone who has done the work of finding Jesus and finding God and reclaiming, or maybe even claiming for the first time, their faith deserves a second chance. This is the world we live in. When rain comes, we say there's a flood. But creation says, these are the ingredients I need for a new life. Yes, sometimes it rains too much, but even in the midst of destruction, new life emerges. When a fruit dies and falls into the ground, the seed goes into the earth and provides the needed ingredients for new fruit. Through organ donation, even though humans die, they can sustain life for other people. And Jesus died so that we would have life. There's a theme here, right? Through death and destruction, sometimes new life comes. So I wish I could promise you that bad things won't happen, but I can't. Even Jesus didn't make that promise, in this life at least. But I can promise you that God is always with you, and God is always a step ahead of you at the same time, preparing the next new creation and the next new life for you. Always ready to mold you into a new creation, even in your worst day. Sometimes we may feel not good enough. Sometimes we may feel broken, but God doesn't see us that way, because God's got the other perspective. God has the perspective that flips that page upside down and sees something else, something that you hadn't seen at first. In our brokenness, God sees an opportunity to mold us into something new and something better. With that perspective, we could live happier and more hopeful lives. Amen.